Welcome to an iTech 15 speaker presentation. This file has been brought to you by Christian Education National. Enjoy and connect to www.cen.edu.au for more information.
Well, good morning, good afternoon. Sorry, everyone. My name is Kathy Pereira. I'm the State Executive Officer for New South Wales. And it's my privilege to introduce you to this workshop this afternoon. The workshop that is happening here, just to make sure we've got people who know that they're in the right place, is called Commitment or Consumerism, Growing Sustainable Community in Our Schools. Can I just ask before we start that you've got your mobile phones on silent, but keep them on, because you may want to Twitter something from this session. And the hashtag is hashtag iTech15Conference for any of the Twitter feeds that we're doing.
We will have Twitter breaks during the time, just to allow... No, only joking.
The session goes from 1:45 to 2:45 and will be followed by afternoon tea and then the next lot of workshops after that. Tim Coy is going to be presenting this session. Welcome. And there'll be some time towards the end for questions and answers, and we'll try and finish promptly at 2:45 so that you can get a break between this and your next workshop. Our workshop presenter is Tim Coy. Tim is the Director of Endeavour Community Relations and Development. Sorry, we're having IT sorting out. I'm just going to come over here and say it. Is that okay? Tim's also had many years' experience as a community relations officer and consultant with over 20 years' experience in Christian school leadership. He's been a speaker at 10 community relations and development conferences, both here in Australia and in Canada. Endeavour is a national company working with schools across Australia on all aspects of community relations and development. And it's a privilege for us to have Tim with us today. I was just talking to him and found out he lives in God's own country, up at Kurrajong in the Blue Mountains west of Sydney. And I live on the other less salubrious side of the Blue Mountains. please welcome Tim.
Thank you.
And look at that, as we start, it goes up on the screen. So that's fantastic.
Well done.
I've never presented holding a microphone before. Usually I have to project to a room, but today I need to take care of my lungs, my throat. A little bit about myself. I've been involved in Christian education since I was 12. When a chap named John Baxter sat in my parents' lounge room and talked about a school that he thought that he might start with a group of people at Blacksley. And my parents weren't involved in that, but I remember hearing them talk with a chap from our church named Alex O'Grady, who was an architect, who sort of, they talked about Christian education in the context of Wycliffe and this strange school called Tyndale. So that was my first introduction to Christian education when I was about 12. We sort of went different ways. I went through what was for 99.9% of kids then in Christian homes available to the public system. Living at a place called Warhope. Stone's throw from a school called Heritage, in which I enrolled our oldest, who's now almost 28, and Ken Dickens was the principal at Heritage. Soon enough, we were having lunch with Ken and Jenny after church one day, and Ken said, "You ever thought about going on the board of the school?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, you might consider that." So yes, 3 months later, I was on the board. 6 months later, someone said, "You ought to be chairman of the school, right?" I thought, "Oh, yeah, Ken." Okay. Yeah, you're completely oblivious as a young fellow to knowing what all this kind of thing means. Tyndale Christian School in Sydney. Years after that, and I worked at Tyndale during George Daniels' time there, and worked there for 9 years. After that, started Endeavour Community Relations, which brings me here today. The other half of Endeavour, which a lot of people don't get to see or meet, is Sandy May down the front here. She's what keeps Endeavour going, and is an equal part in the consulting we do, but I tend to be the face that ends up in schools. just let you know that. It's a rare opportunity to meet and actually speak to Andy face to face here today. Commitment or consumerism? Now, we could do. Now, is everyone down about hearing me okay as well?
Yeah.
Right. I could bring you in here today and I could talk about all the sort of 101s of what we do in community and what we can do to try and tick the box and grow community. But what I see so much, what we see so much in schools now, when people say we are running a community event or we're building community, we're really challenged by how much of that is playing to consumerism. It becomes community entertainment rather than community building. And we see that very counterproductive to actually building serious community. That a term that I used years ago in Canada with Henry Constant, he's a chap I work with in Canada. We used to talk about the burn down principle, that if the school burnt down tomorrow, how many of your families, when you bring them all in and say, look, we're going to meet, don't worry, you can still send your kids here. It's going to be intense on the oval for the next 12 months while we rebuild the school, but don't worry. What we do in this school will still take place. How many of your families will still be there? Will they be there for all the adults? Now, we all know the reality of that, of what that would look like. But for us at Endeavour, and for me personally, of course, and Sandy, it's about when we're building community, what are we actually doing? Are we doing what the Apex Club does and can do and will do and other schools can do? Or are we building a base, foundational, philosophical commitment to what things are about and what's involved in that? Now, what I've just said there is probably more than 1 hour session today, but I suppose what I want to challenge you about is really commitment and consumerism. What do those two things look like and how do they play out in our school? Now, I'll probably try to jam too much into this hour, but we'll launch into it and see how we go. Challenges, the why. Why are we doing this? Consumerism, talk about that, talk about community. Community building or community entertainment. That's a big one, because entertainment is very easy to do in your schools. It's very easy to entertain. Consumerism in education, what is that doing? And what are the educational consequences? What are the administration consequences? Now, consumerism has been around for a long time, and we'll just have a very brief look at that. But what's the outworking of that in our schools in regards to how we react, how we end up perhaps even teaching, certainly how we end up managing parents or wanting to, or them wanting to manage us more to the point. But what does this look like? Consumerism or commitment? Just coming to that question, what are you actually doing? Traditional and contemporary families, we're going to have a look at that because that is, for us, one of the tsunamis that is sort of sneaking up behind some schools. Schools we're working with, that's sort of the baseline when we start saying, have you got your heads around the traditional contemporary mix in your school? So I want to talk a bit about that. And implications, interactions with the school, what does this mean? It was about my third day at Tyndale when I started there as their community relations officer. And in the staff room, and a teacher, a kindergarten teacher, just I said, why do you work here? She threw that. And, you know, I think I wrote it actually on the table in pencil, and then sort of worried about how I was going to get off the table later. I just wanted to get it down. It's one of the greatest privileges, and until my youngest daughter started school, I could actually verbalise this very easily without crying. Even now, my daughter is now 19, I find this quite hard to verbalise without crying. So I'm not going to verbalise it today. I'll try. It is one of the greatest privileges of life when families entrust their precious children into our care for us to share in the joy and responsibility of helping raise and teach them and nurture the world. I just thought that just said it all. And no teacher, anyone, has actually just rattled that off. I didn't say to her, please go away for 3 days. Consider a succinct statement, carefully worded on what it could be. That lady was actually, she's actually the daughter of a chap named Keith Dixon. Keith was the first sort of CEO of the Christian Union, which superseded CPCS. and his daughter was one of the first kids enrolled in Tyndale, which was probably one of the first kids enrolled in Christian school in Australia. So her heritage sort of went way back, but that just came out of her mouth because that's what, the way she was wired. Consumerism. Consumerism is the equation of personal happiness with consumption and the purchase of material possessions. In the Fable of Bees, many people are surprised this early compared to other writers on economics in regards to consumerism. But Bernard Mandeville's Fable of the Bees, it's a series of poems that he was almost burnt at the stake for. The Fable of the Bees, he argued that a country's prosperity ultimately lie in the self-interest of the consumer. 1714, 300 years ago, they had in mind how the British Empire was going to grow to one of the greatest financial empires the world has ever seen. And basically, it was driven by that, consumerism. So I'm not pretending that consumerism has just happened yesterday. It's been around. But we are certainly swallowing it whole in this generation. And certainly the collision of the I generation, and certainly the collision of very contemporary parents and their attitudes and so on in our schools, put all this together, and it's an extremely dynamic and changing time in our schools for how we do things and why we do them. I shop, therefore I am. In many cases, that's the way it is. In Canada, there's schools that have vision statements based on we will turn your children into active participants in the economic well-being of our nation. That's the other side of that, but it's certainly where it goes. Community, the sharing of intent, belief, resources, preferences, needs, and risks. A group of people who reside in a specific locality share government and often have a common cultural and historical heritage. Joint possession, enjoyment, liability, etc., community of property. Similar character agreements. There are aspects of Christian fellowship that we desire in our communities as well. This, of course, is not taking into the communion of saints interpretation, but certainly a desire for unity of purpose and commitment in what we're wanting all of our families, whether they be Christian or non-Christian, to be involved in. And they're two quite conflicting faces. We go back to a desire for, we go back to consumerism and the whole notion of self-interest and so on compared to community. And so on one hand, our schools very much talk about community. If schools I go into had a dollar for every time they said the word community when they're talking to us, they wouldn't have any troubles in, now if there's any business manager in the school, you will be able to tell me how many days until census, I take it. How many days, hours, minutes until census? Census day. Not that anyone's thinking about census, it's not a matter of time. This is the time of year, and I kid you not, where we get a phone call. Probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had phone calls from schools saying, Tim, we're 20 down on our census, on what we're hoping to be for census. We're wondering if Endeavour Community Relations gives us any ideas how to get, even half those enrolments would be great. We understand you work in this area. And I must admit, there was one point where someone did ring me. I sort of half knew this person, so it was all right. I said, well, no problem at all. I send you an email, simply implement that, and you'll probably have 15 to 20 enrolments. And they went, oh, that'd be fantastic. I said, you've got to be kidding, it doesn't work like that. But that's where some places live. Community building or community entertainment. Just want to list off some basics of what we're talking about when we talk about community building. The aspects of what you want to have involved in it. There needs to be a service component. They mean demonstrative in what it does. Should be challenging to the people you have involved. Should be beneficial. There should be a benefit to the community. Now, someone says, Tim, we're having a movie night. It's a fantastic community building event. I say, yeah, tell me what happens. Well, all the parents come along, they sit on mats, we put a movie up on the screen, we give them free food, they talk to each other and they go home. It's just this wonderful community building event. And I say, well, that community event happens sort of 18 times a day at the local cinema. You don't have to do it here. And yes, of course, Christian families sitting down on rugs doing that, yeah, that's great. But I think we have to be very careful not to tick boxes of community building, because we sit them there and entertain them. So there has to be a benefit. Should be a benefit. It should be a challenge. Should be intellectually stimulating as well. We've got to remember, parents may not live in the same space that we do as staff in Christian schools, thinking about a whole lot of stuff all the time, but they do respond to intellectual stimulation in regards to what is happening for their children, if approached in the right way. Uses people's gifts. Recognise that parents have a broad range of gifts in your school. Recognise, most importantly, that your grandparents have a broad range of gifts. Now, I won't talk about it today, but any of the teachers in the room, you want to talk to teachers, find out the benefits of a grandparent sitting in the back of a classroom and doing reading with children. Find out what happens to the reading level in those classes when children have an opportunity to read it to an older person at the back of the room. And the behavioural difference that takes place in that class when there is an older person sitting in the back of the room. Have a look at that. It's extraordinary. Schools say, how can we improve the reading of our families? Stick a grandparent in the back of every room and have your kids read to them. You'd be amazed. And you know what? It's actually free. It doesn't cost you anything except engaging grandparents. Using people's gifts. Learning expertise. Involvement in your school should be about when families leave, they go, I'm an enriched person from having volunteered and been involved in that school. What are you actually doing? So people go, yes, it's great being involved in such and such Christian school. I grew as an individual. It gave me expertise. So what are you doing in that space in regards to building community? Relevant. Make it relevant to what people are doing and their area and so on. Building community encourages action on people's parts. It causes them to into an action. And it all should be pretty well fun. Emmaus Christian School in Canberra, one of their core values is we have a lot of fun here. I think it's great for a school to stick that on their website. Community entertainment. What are some of the things now? What are some of the hallmarks of community entertainment? It requires nothing back generally. Okay, you can just sit there and absorb it. It's very event focused. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things happening occasionally. But if you look at this list and go, yep, that pretty well sums up how we generally approach our community. But I put forward, yep, you're relating to your community, but you may not be building community. Or not building the kind of community we should be aiming to build in our schools. Generally, that one-way interaction, not requiring anything back, but it's one-way. Overly disconnected with core business. Is it some entertainment you're doing because anything about the school is really just too dull and boring and we need to do that movie night 5 times a year, otherwise no one would come into the school? Exaggerated, but you get my point. If it's continually child-centred, as in, you know what, the way we get our parents in is always having little kids up on stage. Because if we know we have little kids up on stage, we'll get parents in. And if we get them in the room watching their kids, well, we've got to be building community. Now, we all know that works, but that can't be as deep as you think and we act in our building of community. Disproportionate amount of staff hours needed to conduct events. If it's like to run a community event, they say, who do we have to tap on the shoulder? Who do we have to drag into this? And are we wearing our staff out by doing this community building? Well, chances are it's very much in the vein of community entertainment. An ongoing inability to predict numbers of attendees. It's that when you have a community that they know you're putting on things, but it's like, yeah, we'll go, we mightn't go. Where you know that sort of it'll depend on the whim of the families, or the weather, or a number of other things, or who'll turn up, where those things. If any of those things are sort of happening for you, or a few of them lining up, you're in that danger zone of community entertainment. Which, if that's what you want to do as a school, that's fine. But just be aware that it is, from our point of view, it's just entertainment. Can you do those things at different times? Of course you can. But you've got to make sure the scales are balanced. Consumerism in education. Families can expect certain results based on the expenditure of time and money. Okay, I'm paying my money, therefore I should be getting this. Now, there's an aspect where that's not wrong for a parent to have, but if that's their entire vision for what they're interacting with you with, then you've got a real big problem. Buying a service gives rights of control over individuals and organisations. Now, we want parents to be engaged in our schools, no matter where our schools sit. Our company works in about 50% CSA schools and about 50% CEN, and some other private schools as well. And so we don't live in just one world. We live in, I think, quite a broad picture. But everyone wants their parents to be engaged. We want, actually, which I think is universal to all the schools we work in, we want parents to have moral ownership. We want them to have a level of moral ownership for what we're doing. Whether that's coming out of a church base or an association base in your school, you want parents to buy in. But in this respect, their buying in gives them certain rights. I'm paying, therefore I should have a say. I'm paying, therefore that teacher shouldn't be there. Or I'm paying, what do you mean I can't see the principal? Instead of going through the three layers to get to him or her, I want to go straight to the top because I really haven't got time to muck around with anyone else. Their children attendance at a particular school will impart certain social status on the children and their families. Right? Sandy, where are you sending Rachel to school next year?
What school should I say?
I don't mind. Launceston.
Launceston Christian School.
Really? We know that reaction. Launceston would never know that reaction. So, Sandy, where are you sending Rachel to next year?
Launceston Christian School.
Really? You got in? Wow. I thought it was pretty hard to get in there. We all know emotionally the answer we want to get when someone hears where we're sending our children to school. It's a consumer. It's a good consumer response. When you buy a car and you tell a friend the kind of car you've bought and they say, oh yeah, I'm looking for a hatchback as well, what do you want them then to do? You want them to buy the car that you just bought. Why? Because it says it's an affirming to you that your commercial decision was a good one because your friend is now going to take your advice and buy it. There's that affirmation. And so that's that social status. When certain criteria aren't met, the withdrawal of students is an early option so the desired result can be obtained elsewhere. The child's approval and happiness is highly determinant on factor of enrolment and retention. Quote from community health audit that we do. We do community health audits in schools. My daughter is happy with the school. I have had creative indifference with the management at times. Her overall happiness is my greatest concern. When she feels that she does not want the gig anymore, we'll then reassess our situation. I'm going to talk more about this later when we're talking about contemporary and traditional. Okay, because we followed this up, and I want to tell you where this more traditional person, my reaction with that more contemporary mum, because it was very eye-opening. But yeah, that's not unusual. The outworking of consumerism. Children dictate what they want. We'll go home, we'll talk to Johnny about whether we'll enrol here, and Johnny's 5-year-old and he's sitting on the floor. And the parents will go home and talk to Johnny about whether they enrol in the school. Okay, that's the reality of a large chunk of families. How do you respond to that? Do you talk to the child only? What do you do? How do you do that? Is that a good place for parents to be? And we're going to talk a little bit about that later. As long as I don't spend too much time on his early slide. Very market conscious, as we just talked about then. Rules should be flexible around their child. It's very important. Because their child, yes, but if you are, oh, I know all the other children were doing that. And Johnny was involved in that. But what is, you just have to understand Johnny's situation is different. Okay? Because he's my child. Like, if you knew my child's situation, you'd understand that that rule, well, technically, really shouldn't apply. I know it's good for the other kids, but not necessarily for children. Impatient and intolerant of delays. I remember the very, very first, I know half of you weren't alive, but The very first computer I ever saw was a Mac, and they were bringing up some, I think it was ping pong game. And the guy opened it up and went, "It only takes 8 minutes to load." And we all sat there like 8 minutes saying, "Only 8 minutes, this is absolutely incredible." Now, if a page doesn't open up in under 7 seconds, we're ready to hit the button and go, "Next." We've been wired for impatient, and we want instant. Expect instant solutions. Money equals results. If you don't provide it, someone else will. If you can't do this with my child, there will be someone else that can provide the service, and they will tell me in the interview that they can. This is not particularly aimed at the Pope, more of leadership in general. I'd like also to give advice to the youth. Avoid consumerism. We have to be very careful when we talk about consumerism and the effect of what's standing behind us and what that looks like. When I'm standing here, what's living behind me in me saying beware of consumerism? So I just want to sort of challenge us all there in regards to what that really looks like. Or commitment. Committed to the school beyond the needs of their own child. If I had to say one thing, if you leave here today and there's one thing in your minds, that question, what we're doing in building community, are you encouraging families to be committed beyond the needs of their own child? And if you had to ask a question before you do a whole lot of events, just ask that. Is this encouraging people, Christians, non-Christians, our community, to be willing beyond their own child? I think that's at least a good starting point. Supportive of teachers and involved in the community. Take the parent educator role seriously, because I think that's actually should be almost a mandate for us. We want to encourage our parents to take that that parent educator role seriously. They're not just in the stands watching the game played at school, but what's their role? God actually gave the children two families. That's where they started. That's where they sort of live. We come in around that. But for many, it's I'm in the stands. I didn't like the way you just called that penalty. So now I'm going to come down and get on the field and yell at the ref. Then I'm going to go back up into the stand and watching it. We want them to be taking what's happening seriously. It's about raising a child, not buying a product. We sometimes in schools, depending on the school, do some advertising programs that include ads that talk about who is raising your child. Put that out into the community. Who's raising your child? Don't worry, you'll get plenty of people reading the newspaper about it because they're not used to hearing that. And then, if you want to be nice and aggressive about it, which we kind of like to be in some of our programs, that question, who's looking after your child for 9 hours a day, this many days? Who's imparting all of that? Who's helping you raise your child rather than what school are they going to? Pose that question. Financially committed beyond the fees. That's highly important in regard to building community. Schools with good, strong community, where there is an excellent, strong educational framework there being taught, in all the great ways we want to happen in our schools, should be places that when you think about building your new $1 million hall, your mind instantly goes to, our community will want to give us half of that, surely. Rather than, oh no, our community would never want to give us half of you, it's going to be joking. It should be the reverse. It should be, no, our community should want to give that. Well, that should be your desire in what you're seeking to build. Bringing others into partnership. Now, the exciting part for us as a company working in schools is that building community, if you want to come down to brass tacks of what goes on, you do this stuff and you end up having a parent population that you don't have to do a newspaper ad. You do a newspaper ad because the board says to you, we haven't seen many newspaper ads lately. You go, okay, sorry, we'll put some newspaper ads in. Now, that's not the only thing newspaper ads are good for, and I apologise for any board members in the room, but it's that notion of you have to be seen to be doing that. It's sort of like putting, turbocharging your parents when it comes to going into the community. When you build this sort of community around a solid educational program, you supercharge them in regards to who's coming. Now, both here and in Canada, the stats are about between 93 and about 98% of all children, depending on the school, all those children enrol into the school because of personal recommendation by families. The only other industry that's anywhere near us is restaurants. Now, that doesn't mean they haven't... We have three forms of advertising we think of generically when we're doing plans for schools. We have awareness, we have information, and we have action. And you've actually got to have a bit of each. You've got to have your awareness, which is your newspaper, that won't get you many enrolments because it's just awareness. Your information, something else, and then you've got your action. The action advertising is that word of mouth that causes people to sort of cross over that line and go into that space. I'm just going to... So the action advertising is important. They bring people in into the partnership. Traditional and contemporary families. I've talked a little bit about this so far, but I'm just going to go through it fairly quickly, going time-wise. Millennial or contemporary families. Where the first child started school towards 2000 onwards. This is a rough guide. And obviously, prior. Of course, this is not an absolute picture of family attitudes, but it's just a guideline for you. And you will more often than not have a mixture within your parent group. But it's important to know that that picture's changing, and to know that, I suppose the challenge for us is, most of our schools started when the parent base, who we were communicating with, the structures of our associations and governance models and how we communicate and what we think is normal and who should turn up to what and all those things happened very much when it was traditional families. And so we sort of became genetically wired that way, that we could work with traditional. And now we have this, as I said, tsunami of differing degrees of contemporaries flooding in. So I'm just going to go through some of their characteristics. Your mother and I found out you've been blogging. We don't know what that means. We'd like to stop. That sort of traditional attitude, I can't blogging. I've heard about blogging. Can't be good. It's connected with all that other stuff that goes on. So, you know, want you to stop. Characteristics. Very nuclear family, and I'm talking very, very sort of generally here, but to give you an idea, they tended to be or are a nuclear family. Accepting and supporting authority. Let's talk about the past, what our schools were started on, because for us that's the main issue. We sort of became wired around these general facts. Accepting and supporting of authority, committed and involved in the school, support school discipline, mother involved in daily activities, father and mother special events. It went onto the calendar. Right, we better put that on. That's the school concert at the end of the year. No, nothing else can come around that. We can't go on holidays but after school concert. That kind of mentality. Mother in contact with other mums and teachers. Now, I don't mean to sound at all sexist about this, and we'll be talking about mums doing this and mums doing that, but to a large degree, 20, 30, 40 years ago, that was the reality of what the majority was. Family life was worked around school life. Had an experience in a school here in Victoria, actually. I'm sure they won't mind me telling you. It's at Mount Evelyn, and I spoke to their association about contemporary and traditional families. And we did an exercise there, they did an exercise with me, that they had the association members come and put a dot of where they thought they were on the traditional contemporary sort of continuum. And there was one chap there who sort of made an effort to make sure his red dot was as far on the traditional side as possible. And then we sort of talked about, and then at the end of the night he came up to Narelle, the principal, and admitted to her, he said, "I can't believe it," because he'd heard what I said about this, and that is family life has worked around school life. Said, the example is, when will we go on holidays? Well, we need to go on holidays. School finishes then, and we fly out there. Now it's, well, we're leaving 2 weeks early because Jetstar's got great air flights. So we just need to go when Jetstar has got a good flight. That's where we go. And he said, I put my dot over there. I realise I'm literally coming in to tell you tomorrow we're taking the kids out 2 weeks early because of the next holidays, because we've got cheap Jetstar flights to Queensland. He said, so, I'm a contemporary parent, I can't believe it. So that's where he was at. He realised that he sort of was pretty chipper about it. I'm a traditional family member, you know. He realised that he was going into that. Traditional. Teachers are viewed as professionals and held in high regard. Our schools started along those lines very much because here were these crazy teachers, going out of the public system and launching into this Christian education. They were going into the unknown and held in very high esteem by our community. Mothers bring children to school. There was that physical connection. Interaction was caused by the way our society worked. Mums read all literature, or read a lot when they came home. Cooperates closely with the school, follows school calendars. We talked a little about this. The school is worthy of time and financial support. And it was a very narrow church base, which is quite significant in how we relate to our communities now. Sorry if that's a bit blurry. 1969, explain these bad grades. And they're pointing to little Johnny. It's always Johnny, by the way. Sorry about that, always Johnny. There's Johnny. Today, explain these bad grades. Now, I suspect at different points, it's somewhere in the middle. There's times when parents haven't got every right to ask a teacher, can you please explain these bad grades? My child has actually come sort of 4 years of this, and they've come to this class, and all of a sudden you're seriously saying in year five, they've forgotten everything. Like, hello, can we just, we need to understand and get our head around that as a parent. But I think there's somewhere in the middle. But certainly this has become far more prevalent than it probably helpfully needs to be. Contemporary carers, characteristics. Dual income, which any business manager will tell you, you can drop your school population by about 2/3 if you don't have dual income families, because they won't be able to afford your school fees. So when it comes to community, it comes to us working in community, when people say, oh, you know, parents just aren't committed anymore. They don't come to events during the day, they don't come at night, you go, no, that's because they're both working to pay the fees. Actually, let's have a reality check of how we have to react to that. What do we have to do? What do we do because that's the reality? Because you certainly can't say to parents, well, get your act together, come on, be committed. You've been up working all day, come at night as well, or this. There's just not that framework. Single and blended families. I was around Christian schools when I heard a board discussing whether a divorced family would be allowed into the school. I read that in minutes. That the school was discussing whether that would be something sort of theologically and point of view, that's what they'd be doing. Probably one of the most complicated ones was at a school where I work, which I've told you about already, but I did forget that for this story. Mum, dad, in school, three children, mum, dad divorced. Mum remarried, dad remarried. Dad had three children, mum had two children. Dad divorced. Mum and dad got remarried, had another child. All in one school.
Oh.
And so how the school then deals with families like that is not that unusual. And I've had people in sessions in school say, yeah. So you're trying to impress us with that story, Tim? And I go, yeah, okay, fair enough, that's it. Question authority. Now, there's nothing wrong with questioning authority. Obviously, there's a Royal Commission happening at the moment, and so often I just go, didn't someone question authority? Didn't someone say, hey, it's not a good idea for that person to have that kind of control over children? Hello? So questioning authority in itself isn't wrong. It's the framework it's done and the reasons it's done. They're consumers. Das Auto. What brand is that connected with?
Volkswagen.
Right. They don't even say it in English. Why? Why don't they have to say it in English? Because it's a statement of, this is what they're telling me. And no offence to anyone in the room. If you buy a Golf and you park in your street, you're making a statement that you're about 2 to 3 rungs above a Corolla. And you're about 5 rungs above a Hyundai or a Daewoo. Because if you've got a Golf, you're sort of up there. That's the statement they're making, right? You've got German engineering. It's a Das Auto. And they're saying, you buy this car. Now, I'm not arguing the merits of whether it is better or isn't better. But the advertising is, you buy this car and you know you buy a slightly upgraded social status amongst your friends and your street. The neighbour who just bought the Daewoo will go, John Golf. His door goes, mine goes, come. John's got the kafunk door. I want the kafunk door. But my wife wouldn't let me. She said it was a waste of money. That's the consumer world we live and are immersed in and do without even thinking. Smaller families. My daughter, Tim, the other school she's at, they're saying she's looking about getting a 65 to 70 ATAR. She needs to get 99.9 because she wants to do vet science at Sydney Uni. And I'm not making fun of this, but this is what I said. My husband and I, we've had a prophetic message that she's going to do that. At the moment, the school isn't in agreement with that. So we're looking for her to come here to Tyndale in order to get those marks. And we're looking for you to be in partnership with us to do that. And it's like, right, we need a reality check here. Lovely, lovely girl. Is she going to get 99.9 and get into one of the most... You can be a doctor in 20 places in Australia before you can do vet science at Sydney Uni. So expectations because of just one child is much, much higher. Very multicultural. And so all of that brings in the contemporary picture of, well, we don't even talk to the school from our culture. Or, sorry, my son has never had to respect a female in that situation before. Mm. What do you mean? My son got up and told the teacher that she didn't know what she was talking about and he didn't have to listen. Because that's the way he talks to his mum and all his sisters. Now, I'm not disrespecting some of our culture, but that's what comes into our schools. It's a cultural contemporary mix. Children dictate what they want, as we've mentioned. Individualistic, independent, well-informed, involved in areas of personal interest. Personal interest is the big one. There's Johnny, he's off to school. All safe and sound. Now, I'm going to refer back to this. I'm going to refer back to this later. Oh, for a school full of these Johnnies, okay? We lament the day when we didn't have a school full of these Johnnies compared to what's happening. Okay, so just think about this. They're wrapping him up in bubble wrap, but they're sending him off to school. We'll come back to Johnny. Characteristics. Market conscious. We talked about that. Scarcity of time, attention, trust, and loyalty. Short attention span with subject when subject not immediately relevant to them. Images rather than words capture attention. High stress level and suffer from the time crunch. Impatient, intolerant of delays. Expect instant solutions. Expect value for money, as we mentioned, in the consumer part. So we have this consumer mentality absolutely driving our families. We have a contemporary mix of families with not as many children, with higher expectations, and we're seeking to build community with them. So these are some of the challenges we have. But unless we recognise the challenges and can call them for what they are and realise, hang on, parents are relating that way to us. Why? Because they're a contemporary group of parents. Now I'm doing a rough look around the room here. There are enough people of a certain age to be able to put their hands up and say, yes, well, actually, I've raised all those contemporary... I've helped raise the generation of contemporaries that are coming into our schools. We've actually been part of it. The traditionals actually raised all these contemporaries. So we're in the mix as well. We don't sort of stand back and, oh, who's responsible for this mix? Like, well, we're responsible for this mix. Consequences. Less parent volunteerism. Volunteers. Why? One, because I haven't got the time. But also, because we have schools full of a lot of contemporary staff who the idea of a parent coming into a school or a grandparent coming to the classroom completely terrifies them. We part of what we do in our work, we help schools run purposeful volunteer programs. More often than not, we'll work with the school and their staff, not full-time, but on our visits leading up to it, for 18 months before we survey the parents. Why? You need to do 18 months work with the staff. So that when you send the survey home and you get it back, you've got a staff going, when are we going to get these surveys? When are we going to find out when we can use these parents? Otherwise what happens is you survey the parents, they put everything down, another one rings them and you basically inoculate them against volunteering again. So you've actually got to prepare your staff. So if you want to have a good volunteer program in the school, don't start with asking your parents. Start with working with your staff on what it means to have volunteers. And that's actually an excellent way, if you did nothing else in regards to combating consumerism, it's have a purposeful, planned, energy and time put into it, ownership by leadership into your volunteer program. And I don't mean, oh, Tim, we've got 30 or 40 volunteers working in our school over the week. 30 or 40, that sounds a lot. You have 700 families. That's not a lot at all. What does that look like? How many grandparents do you have? We've got 3 lovely grandparents coming. What does that look like? I remember what I said about the reading. You have a look at what happened. My mum was actually involved in that. So I have a wonderful example of the teacher saying, Tim, I can't believe the difference in the class when your mum was in there. Why? Because in a genuine way, it would be, we are caring for Grandma Coy today. Now, if you want to go and read for her today, we can't have a misbehaving child go to the back of the room and read with Grandma Coy. We can't do that with Grandma Coy. The class just changed. And what happens to a child? I'll get teary. What happens to a child who doesn't have a grandparent within striking distance of them, or is so removed from with a broken family situation, who gets to go and sit on a 78-year-old's grandma's lap down the back, that only someone like that can listen to them read? What happens to the self-esteem of that child? Goes through the roof. It's exciting to have volunteers involved in education. Christian culture is much less traditional in how it goes and what it does. Don't attend evening meetings, we've touched on that. Can't be counted on to read notes that are sent home rather than phone reception for details. Look, I don't care if we run out of time, we've got to do this because we all laugh at that. A school, won't say what state, sitting in the foyer. When my first go to schools, and I haven't been there before, I love getting in there. Never wear a badge, never wear a shirt with Endeavour on it. I love going in, and I desperately hope they say, I'm sorry, the principal business manager, depending on who I'm saying, I'm sorry they're held up. Do you mind waiting 10 or 15 minutes? I go, yes. I'll get to sit in their foyer and just watch what happens without anyone being aware that I might be watching for different things. Well, this school produced, and I've been able to use this wonderful example ever since. I'm indebted to this school. I'd love to be able to tell them how I'm doing. It wouldn't be appropriate. A lovely, highly committed lady behind the desk who had been in school, I found out, for about 25 years behind the desk. And there's nothing wrong with someone who'd been behind the desk for that long, but I'm just painting a picture of someone who'd been doing that job for a long time and interacted with traditional and now is interacting with contemporary. And it sort of went like this. Hello, such and such Christian school. Yes, well, we sent a note home about that. Yes, well, I think we actually sent a follow-up note home about that. Well, we also put that information in the newsletter. Yes, well, we'll have been on the permission slip as well. Okay. Yes, well, the excursion gets back at 4 o'clock today. Okay, thank you. Clunk. That was a traditional person teaching that contemporary parent a lesson. She's got one on the line. And they've been creating a mountain of work for her, and she had one of them on the line, and she was going to dangle on there. What the contemporary parent might as well have been hearing was, you don't read notes? Yeah, well, that's why we send you two. Okay. Well, your son's as bad as you, because he obviously didn't give you that third note either. Right, so you sign things and you don't even read them, because you didn't see the time. Okay, look, if it has to be dragged out of me, then it gets back here at 4 o'clock this afternoon. That's what she was saying, wasn't she? Instead of, oh, where are they going? Oh, yeah, look, I did hear they were doing that. 4 o'clock this afternoon, that's fantastic. Look, I hope he has a good time. That's fantastic. And by the way, have you got in your diary the 22nd of May for our school benefit night? Okay, look, thank you. And please, if you're ever in the school, make sure you say hello. Okay, bye. Bye. Okay, doesn't take much effort, does it? That last bit, your receptionist or anyone answering the phones to your school families should always have a little post-it note, the next school event you want to actually tell your families about. You'll contact about two-thirds of your community, at least half your community, over the lead-up time just by reminding them at a time when they're ringing you to find out something, and so they're listening. Okay? And it's just that 10 seconds on the end of a phone call. Doesn't hear you. And so that's what receptionists and people in the school should be doing. So make sure you're doing that. Expect the school to assume more of the parenting role and discipline role. That's a big one. We could do a whole session on that. More academic expectations. We talked about that young lady at Tinder. Willing to pay but not to give. Just, I know some of you are taking, that's fine. The notes will be available online afterwards as well. So that's fine. You can take the phone as I'm flattered. But it's good for my ego, but you can be able to get them online anyway. Implication drives up the cost of education, what we're trying to provide. Gives of time, money and resources are directly related to benefits received. Query disciplinary decisions. Likely to encourage children to uphold school rules, indulgent of children, child needs to persuade parents to write a note, get out an assignment. Want instant gratification, not willing to go through the issues if there's a problem. Now remember, Precious, you are always right. Do exactly as you like. The teacher is usually wrong. Tell me the minute anyone upsets you. Tell me the minute anyone lays a hand on you. You are the most important person in the world. You are good at everything. You are always right. You already said that. Oh, I'm sorry, my darling. Let me drive you 500 metres to school. I did that presentation to another association in Tasmania. And one of the ladies in the office said, Tim, that mother lives in our school. She said, her daughter was in trouble and had done something fairly serious. The mother met her at the door going, oh, it's all right, my darling. We'll go and get a cup of coffee. We'll go and get your favourite cake. It's all right. I'll be waiting now. And the mother just walked all the way to the car, just doing this. So, no, I'm not, this is an exaggeration, apparently. No, it's not.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, that's right. What does it mean for us to build community with people like this? We have to work with that. Want help with after-school care and holiday care? Less direct contact with teachers, less contact with other parents. Prefer to observe word of mouth rather than talk to a teacher rather than read literature. Learn most about the school through the children. That's a good one. Are critical of staff and not loyal to the school. Please turn it down. Daddy's trying to get you home. What I find interesting about this cartoon is
the TV.
It's the size of the TV. Yeah.
That's
great.
It's
a 19. So it's been going on for a while.
Well, he's got a daddy.
Yeah, it is mum and dad, they're there. Confrontational, prefer to go straight to the top rather than through the regular channels. Allow children to move, people saying decisions, for example, changing schools. Back to the lady in the health order. Traditional Tim, I have aspects of traditional parenting in me. I also have a chunk of contemporary. Rang her up. Said, hi, Tim Coy, and Debo, you filled it out. She said, Tim, I said, just tell me about this comment. She said, Tim, I'm a single mum. The very fact that my daughter's in school, and she's in a Christian school, absolutely thrills me. I'm glad that she's not out of school. Like, four out of her six friends are pregnant and left school. So I'm thrilled she's in school and wanting to be there. If she decides this isn't the school she wants to go to, and she wants to go to another school, I'm not going to fight that. I live in a world of no support from her father. I have no grandparents that live near me. I'm paddling this boat by myself. So in that picture, that's my world. And so you sort of go, yes. Okay? Contemporary Tim, sitting at home, nuclear family, very different world to what a lot of our contemporaries are wrestling with and what that means. So we need to make sure we're reading through that prism, making sure we're understanding that our contemporaries aren't us. Very protected children, we saw Johnny, all bubble wrapped up, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Quality of education is given, value-added extras are expected. Okay, helicopter parents, we've all heard of them? Absolutely. Well, Johnny was great, because they used to just send you off. Okay, Johnny was just wrapped up on bubble wrap. Please take care of yourself, off you go. No, they're hovering above. Binoculars, money being thrown? Not the money, okay. Now, do you know the next pairer they're describing? Have you heard of that one? Lawnmower parents. You've heard that description? Lawnmower parents. Meanwhile, in another side of the universe, move it or lose it, buddy. The path's almost clear, son. Tally ho. And under this one, there is actually some poor. I don't know. We won't say teacher, that might be hard. But the idea, they're just mowing that grass. So Johnny being carted along the back and have as smooth as ride as possible. Uphill, down, dale, making sure it's all okay. There is a new term. There's not much on the internet about it, but it is being talked about, and certainly we're seeing it, and so on. And that is, we'll get to that, implications of school and interactions of school. We'll come back to the next one after we looked at this. Overparenting trends worry psychologists. Psychologists and counsellors are concerned that overbearing parents are raising children unable to cope with a failure and life outside the home. Queensland University of Technology study shows. Judith Locke, a clinical psychologist and former teacher, said helicopter and lawnmower parents, this is 2013, were popular colloquial terms. Her study proved that professionals recognise it as a problem. Parents are typically doing their best job they can do, and this type of parenting is done with the best of intentions, out of love, she said. However, more effort doesn't necessarily produce a better child. There may be a point at which effort can be harmful. Examples of excessive parenting cited in the study include parents cutting up 10-year-old's food, forbidding a 17-year-old to catch a train to school, or confronting other parents when their child wasn't invited into a classmate's birthday party. Parenting professionals are concerned overparenting reduces a child's resilience and life skills because they've never had to face difficulties. It could also create a sense of entitlement in the children. If they have someone constantly making their life perfect, they expect everyone to make their life perfect for them. This is having a huge impact on schools, not only schools responsible for teaching students, but they have to manage parents' extreme expectations as well. Ms. Locke said, although overparenting had always existed, she believed it was now more widespread. These days, overparenting is virtually perceived as being ideal parenting, she said. I just wanted to throw that in because there are a whole heap of dangers in not doing this. We're not just talking about how hard it is to get notes home. There are consequences for what we're doing in community and how we're engaging with our families. What we're getting our families into the room to hear. Now, if that room needs to be live podcasts from your school into families' homes, maybe so. If it means what you do to get them into the school, how relevant it is, how engaged you've got them, there are consequences for not engaging our community and building it. It's not just they're not reading notes. There's consequences for the children, there's consequences for the staff, there's consequences for that whole picture of how kids learn and what the dynamics are. 2 minutes, yep. Bulldozer parents. Don't worry, nothing will get in your road, son. It's bulldozer parents. There is no, now we're not worried, it's no up and down hills. I'm going to level the top of the hill off, I'm going to push it into the gully. It's now going to be a smooth ride for you because I'm just going to knock everything out of the road and level it. You can't even have an incline, you have to climb because it has to be a grade easily accessible for you. So it's the bulldozer pair. Owners or custodians. I just want to finish up in the next couple of minutes on this. Ownership of property may be private or collective and has certain rights and duties over the property. Ownership, by definition, implies responsibility to others regarding the property. Property is therefore to serve the owner. I've talked about ownership for the last 25 years in community relations, but I think we have to inject another word into it. And I think we have to think about wanting to grow custodians in our schools. Because once we think about being a custodian, a person who has a custody is a keeper or a guardian of what's happening. If you own something, you can technically trash it. You own a car, you can go up the baseball bat and beat the bits. If you are custodian for something, you can't do that. And so we want to be growing custodians in our schools. A person entrusted with guarding and maintaining for future generations. Custodian is there to serve, not the product to serve them. We can't convince families to embrace, own and support community if the vision we have is not one of encouraging, if the one we have is encouraging consumerism. We need and must have a vision for the who and what we can be beyond the achievement of marks in our school. Our communities have feet in both consumerism and commitment. How they move forward will depend on your understanding of a vision for Christian education and how you can inspire them into a lifelong commitment or settle for entertainment-based consumerism. So it just depends on where you're going to sit with that. What do you want to do with your families? But please make no mistake, in growing your families in a consumer picture of commitment has educational consequences. It has consequences for your staff, for your children, and how they lead and what they look for. It's not just froth and bubbles. What you do in your community is not just an add-on. It has deep-reaching effects on what you do. Never mind the financial and all sorts of other things.
We've really finished time. You might like to give Tim a quiet. Somebody's got a burning thing they'd like to ask while we've got Tim here in the room. I noted a couple of things for myself that stood out, Tim, that right back at the beginning where you asked, are you encouraging families to be committed beyond the needs of their own child? I'd love to know how we do that. It's a really interesting question for us as teachers and schools to grapple with. And also, it's about raising a child, not buying a product. How we actually emphasise that in the language we use in our enrolment interviews and in our introductory walk around the school and all of that is really critical, isn't it? Tim, there is a gift here for you. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Just a small gift to say thank you. Can I just encourage you, if in any of these sessions that you go to, if you're interested on the app for iTech, there's a session feedback where you just can put a little bit of feedback. That's extremely helpful for us for the future. And also, just to let you know, afternoon team now and trade exhibition, and then at 3:15 your next workshop starts, and you just go straight to that. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Welcome to an iTech 15 speaker presentation. This file has been brought to you by Christian Education National. Enjoy and connect to www.cen.edu.au for more information.